Hello, friends. This is Tracy Sue, and you are listening to What Would Tracy Sue Do? I would like to share with you about a product that I am finding so helpful in my everyday life. This might sound completely ridiculous, especially for my topic today, but when something is a part of your life every single day, it has a cumulative effect. And I am talking about the critical, important issue of mascara, eyelashes. Now, maybe you don't think that I'm so progressive, but I actually do care about what I look like to myself in the mirror. I'm a lady who will get dressed and look like I'm going somewhere, even if I have nowhere to go. This is something I learned from my mother, who was a housewife, and many days with four kids, she didn't leave the house. She did it for her own self-respect. When I meet someone in my coaching practice or even out and about and in my personal life who's deeply depressed, I notice there is a theme with not getting dressed, not putting on makeup, not getting your hair done, not looking like you have somewhere to go. In other words, your outward expression is a reflection of your inward expression. Now, I've got every single thing in my life down pat. I've got the lipstick, CoverGirl, Color Stay, put it on one time a day. When people are like, oh my gosh, you wear lipstick. I'm like, yeah, and I apply it less than you apply chapstick to keep your lips moist. And I never have to use a chapstick. It stays on all day when I eat, when I drink. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and it's still there. So I do that. Blush takes 2 seconds. Dump, dump, a little moisturizer. And then there's the mascara. There's the eyelashes. The eyes are the window to the soul, and my lashes are blonde. They're so blonde that an esthetician tried to dye them and she couldn't find the bottom lashes. So it matters to me whether or not I get to highlight my eyes with mascara. I think it changes your look incredibly. It makes you look more alive and bright. I enjoy it, but the mascara, oh my God, and the eyelashes, oh my God. The other day, Zach, my 13-year-old boy, looked over at me when I was driving the car and he said, I don't think you should wear that mascara anymore. It's flaked all over your face. And I looked in the mirror and he's right. And I had been so excited about this one. It really did make my lashes look thicker and longer. Then I tried the glue-on lashes. I am so clumsy. You cannot even imagine how clumsy I am. There's no way that's going to work for me. I could not get that glue. I glued my eye. Oh, it was just the worst. So that's out. I paid to have the eyelash extensions. Oh my gosh, people, we're talking about money here. $90 every time you go in for a refill every 1 month to 6 weeks, and it gets more expensive the longer you go because more lashes fall out. And I am convinced that it did make my eyelashes fall out and become shorter, even though they promised that it won't. But of course, I know that it did. I don't even want to spend that much time laying there while someone painstakingly applies each lash, gluing it to each lash. Like, that is just way too much. I have spent more money on mascara than I've spent on any other thing, save really nice healthcare, good healthcare, good skincare. And I finally have attracted the solution. I have attracted the solution because I have fantasized about this. I have thought about it. I have hoped and prayed because this is an everyday thing that affects my life and I want it to take 5 seconds. I want it to take 5 seconds. I want it to be affordable. I want it to look great when I leave the house. I don't want it to smear. I don't want it to run if I dare cry. I don't want it to flake. I want to walk out of the house looking like I have amazing natural lashes and it took me 5 seconds to put on. Friends, I found it. 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 And you're welcome. It's called Lash Liner and it's magnetic eyeliner with magnetic lashes. Now, when they came out with magnetic lashes, I was so excited. Only there was a problem with my clumsiness in that I couldn't get the magnets of the top lash and the bottom lash to line up. It was a disaster, as much of a disaster as the glue situation was. But Lash Liner is this new company that put out an eyeliner that is magnetic, and a whole array of lashes from super chill, everyday, just, you know, going to the gym look, natural, to ridiculously costume glam. And every single one of them are the same price, and they now have eyeliner that comes in brown and gray and black, which is important to me because I have a very fair complexion, and black eyeliner tends to make me look a little too washed out and it's just not a great effect. So it's Lash Liner. It's amazing. If you use my affiliate link, which is tracysue.com/liner, you can get a special package deal where you get the liner and the lash of your choice, so they don't charge you extra money for the different lash, depending on how long or what style. They're all the same exact price, which I really enjoy. And they're $55. Now, that may sound crazy to people unless you've spent $90 every month on eyelash extensions, not to mention the hours and hours and hours of laying there. That may sound expensive unless you've spent so much money over dozens of years looking for a mascara that doesn't flake or run or pull out your lashes. I feel like this is one of the best inventions ever made besides pink hair dye, which I also really greatly enjoy. They say the eyes are the window to the soul, and I think a great frame on that window, a great curtains, a little aesthetic, pleasing, fun, flirty lash is key to that. So Tracy Sue, TracySiouX.com/lashes. And every time you buy something that I talk about on this show, you are greatly helping support this show with your generosity and kindness. And you get to look amazing as well. And also, I'm really interested in seeing your lashes. So if you could, you know, pop over to Facebook or send me a message, I would love that, because I just really want to see what each different lash looks like on a real person. All right, folks, I have to transition into today's topic. And it's one that I really am not relishing talking about, because I am afraid of being attacked by the mean girls in my own political party. I am talking about the national elections. People, my life has changed so dramatically, terribly, since Donald Trump was in office that I cannot even tell you. The month before Donald Trump was elected, I actually made sales of $35,000 in my business, which during the Obama years had doubled year after year. The month he was elected, my business plummeted to practically zero. And in the last 2 years, my living expenses, my business expenses, every expense that I have has skyrocketed 30%. Like, I'm not talking about, oh, we had to raise our rates a dollar. I'm talking about, oh, you paid $10 for this and now you're paying $15. And that has happened on every single one of my utilities. It has happened in everything I buy at the grocery store. Now, you may be confused by the smaller packaging and the same price, but I'm not. And most of the time, it's a smaller packaging on a larger price. Like, this shit is getting real. I have never had a worse financial position than I do right now. Now, they say, oh, the economy is going great. There are new jobs. There are whatever. Okay, you cannot count a $13 an hour job as a job, because you're actually losing money when you have that job. Not only does it not meet your expenses, it actually increases your expenses. And so it's actually a worse economic deal to have a shitty part-time job, give me a break, full-time job. This 1099 nonsense, we're competing with workers in the Philippines who have a basic grasp of English. My job's been outsourced I don't know how many times in my career since I started in newspaper journalism. Every single thing is getting way more expensive. And frankly, people, I'm ashamed of my financial position. But guess what? It's not my fault. I don't control the economy, no matter how many positive thoughts that I might be able to generate. We are in trouble. A stock market is an illusion that can crash and has crashed overnight. During my lifetime, it's crashed 3 times overnight. We cannot be relying on a false messaging about how many jobs there are when we have skilled workers who were making 50, 60 bucks an hour, 20 bucks an hour, 30 bucks an hour, doing whatever they were doing, and then it was outsourced or automated. And so now, oh, the big job that Donald Trump is bringing in is a $15 an hour job that won't even meet your expenses. Well, I live in a community where the housing prices are completely ridiculous. So even if I decided, okay, I need to sell my house for economic reasons, I would have nowhere to live because I live in the most affordable place because I have my mortgage from 10 years ago during the housing slump. What I'm telling you people is we have to get serious about this election. Because the gap between the rich and the poor is even way worse than it was when we were doing the campaigning between Bernie, Hillary, and Trump. It's far worse. I was freaking middle class, and now I'm not anymore. Now I'm in humiliating positions that I don't ever want to be in. Ever. This cannot sustain itself. We cannot be a sustained economy like this. This is a secret inflation that's damaging us so extremely that we need to stop fucking around and get on the same page. And I am talking about progressives. That's right. I'm talking about my own party. I just saw my first Prager University video on YouTube. It was on a New Age channel as well. I was watching an astrology guy that I like, the Leo King, and right in the middle of it, it cut off, and it was Prager University. Guess who Prager University is? They are a conservative group that are putting out messaging that is compelling, smart, and effective to the only voters who matter. And I'm talking about swing voters. If you have not heard, the election was very tampered with on internet, on Facebook. It was very targeted towards one small group of people. Swing voters in 3 states, a very small group of people who, because Facebook monitors every single thing about who their advertisers are, all of the demographics, they monitor every single word that you say, every single keyword, they can target people who are unsure who they will vote for, either because they hate everything about politics or because they can see both sides of the issue. Generally, it's people who hate everything. You know, the person who's like, they're all the same. They're not all the same. That's such a load of shit. They are not all the same. Donald Trump is not the same as Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. That is not the same. You may be frustrated with our politics, but it is not the same politics. The different policies matter. And if you are someone who has always taken a side, your vote is irrelevant to either the left or the right because you've already picked a side. They don't want to waste advertising on you. They want to waste advertising or spend their advertising dollar on people who can actually swing and thus determine the election. And you know where the left went wrong last year? Last election season, infighting and distraction. And when I saw this Prager University ad about gender, I thought, yep, we're done. We're done. We've lost. Because in the same day, I also saw an argument on Facebook complaining that white women hate black women and they're entitled. And so this black woman beat up a Jewish woman and, you know, check your privilege. Okay. I also saw Chelsea. Hello, Chelsea Handler. Hello, privilege. This is Chelsea. Okay. I am not saying that any of these issues are not important. They are important. These are conversations that we need to be having, but they are pet issues that distract our party, that confuse the swing voter, and leave us completely not even allies to our own group, right? We're progressives. We're the left. We're supposed to stand for things like healthcare. We're supposed to stand for things like equality. But when you get into these minute details of equality, these very nuanced conversations, and this very subtle forms of racism that are true, they're there. I will grant you that. I will not deny that they're not there. I will not tell you that it's not important, but I will tell you that it will cost us this election if we do not get more generalized, more centralized, and more unified with central, simple issues that we keep taking the conversation to. I put out one single post this entire election season, and I was brutally attacked by guess who? Bernie supporters. That's who. Hey, asshole, I'm on your fucking team. Brutally attacked by, I'm a white woman who's, you know, who compare my entitlement to men. Hey, asshole, I'm on your team. Now, this may sound harsh and unprogressive and, oh my God, what is she fucking talking about? But I'm telling you, five reasons why Trump will win this election is because progressives cannot get their shit together and are fracturing their own agenda, their own party, with unnecessary and uncalled for distractions and fracturing with pet issues. We cannot afford to have pet issues. We need to win, and then we can really address those issues. I'm not telling you that your issue is not important. What I am telling you is that we cannot win. We cannot win if you make it about that. If you make something about a small population within our party, if you make that the deal, that's the hill you're going to stand on, we're going to lose. And then we're looking at this guy who's going to destroy the planet, who's going to create so much fucking inflation, who's going to, I mean, I'm already in the poorhouse here. Like, I've never been in such a terrible position. I'm in such a bad position that I have a habit of borrowing money for my daughter every month just to make it. That is unacceptable. I'm a professional, qualified, smart-ass woman who has seen my profession take a nosedive through outsourcing and automation. That's a real thing we have to deal with. I'm not saying that that can be easily fixed. What I am saying is we really need to look at some very serious problems that don't just involve a small group of people who are passionate about a pet issue. We have to keep it together and maintain central issues that affect all of us. There are five reasons that I can identify why Trump is going to win and we're going to lose if we can't get our shit together. Number one is infighting from the last election. Bernie supporters were just as detrimental, if not more detrimental, to our party and our lack of support in the national election as anything Donald Trump threw in. The venomous attacks of other candidates in our own party is unacceptable. It is self-destructive. It is self-defeating. We're throwing our own party candidates under the bus, and then when your candidate loses, you don't step up and support the one that won? Fuck that. We can't afford that. That's why we lost. Dude, I was for Hillary in the Obama campaign. But I'll tell you what, when Obama won, I got behind the candidate. And Bernie supporters did not do that. And that is why we lost. We cannot afford that kind of tantrum again. We cannot afford to attack our own candidates so viciously that we do more damage to the candidate who wins the party ticket than our competitor, than our the opposite side does. We cannot afford that. We cannot afford to attack each other within our own party. We cannot afford that. Number two is pet issues. We cannot stray into nuanced territory. Okay, the gender thing, the cisgender normative, I cannot even tell you how damaging this is to our central cumulative goal of winning this election with any fucking candidate we can. It is so destructive because it is so nuanced and it is so academic, and swing voters are barely wrapping their heads around gay people. And you can judge that all you want, but that's where they're at. And to pretend that they are so much more advanced than 99% of the population will cost us this vote. This is a distraction. It is not a central theme. It is not something we have to address before the election. It is definitely something we should not be addressing during the election. If we get a progressive in office, you have way better shot at educating people about this. But you cannot educate swing voters about something they cannot comprehend. They're not there, and they're not going to get there before this election. And if we keep focusing on these smaller pet causes and subtle discriminations and nuanced biases, we can't win. We are expecting too much. We're expecting way too much in too short a period of time. Now, I got to tell you, people, I am from a conservative family who's religious and who is Mormon, for God's sake. This is a very specialized group of people who have a voting presence that's fairly large. And I can see growth in them in terms of cousins of mine who have come out of the closet as gay. But you can't throw transgender on them at the same time. They can't make that kind of move. They have no context for it. And these are the people you have to sway. It's people who are looking at people they know. Okay, we know gay people. We love them. We want to see them do well. Okay, that's a huge step in the right direction, and they're not all there yet. There's a huge amount of resistance for that. You cannot throw cisgender normative queer onto that. It's too confusing. You will fracture any inroads we have made. Save it for after we fucking win. I'm begging you. My family is also from the South, dude. Like, okay, my mother went to schools with a black person drinking fountains. Those are still in the schools that exist there. They have taken the sign off, but it's obvious what they are. You cannot expect them to move so fast. There is millennia of fear built into race. Millennia. I mean, the first time it was in Cain and Abel in the Bible. Like, you can't do it because they cannot process it this quickly. You're expecting too much. Pet issues is number two. Number three, third-party voters. Listen, people, we're not going to have a third party. Like, I know it's crazy bullshit that we have a second party, but the reason that we do that is because of the Electoral College and the way that we count and distribute votes in this country. And unless that changes, there is no chance for a third party. So don't get up on your high horse and say, well, I'm not going to vote for either candidate. No, you will cost us. You will cost us. Cast a fucking vote. Don't wimp out and stay out. Don't wimp out and stay home. And yes, it is often a choice between two evils. And it is your responsibility to choose the lesser of two evils. There is no third party in this country. And we have to make way more changes to our election process that cannot happen before our elections. It can't happen before our elections. And when you act naively in some sort of gesture to vote for a third party that cannot win, you're making a huge cast for Donald Trump. That is a vote for Donald Trump. Make no mistake about it. We do not live in a country that has any more than two parties. That's not ideal, but that's not what elections are. Elections are about compromise. They're about as good as we can get right now. That's all they're about. We're going to get as good as we can get right now. And if you think Donald Trump is as good as we can get right now, then you stay home. Then you vote for a third party who can't win. But that is a vote for Donald Trump. I promise you that. We have to change the way we cast elections and how we count them. And that is a change of the Electoral College. Now, some states are sick and tired of people who don't win the general election having the presidency. That's not our ideal. That is a practice that was created because people had to ride their fucking horses to Washington to cast a vote. That is not where we're at right now. So states like Colorado have said they will cast the Electoral College votes. All of our Electoral College votes will go to the winner of the general election. And I encourage you to let your legislatures know that this is what we're going to have to do, because we're not going to get ratified in states who are benefiting from the Electoral College. That's another Prager University video that's actually pretty compelling. You should go check out their videos. They're actually very compelling, and that's why we're going to lose, because we don't have a very compelling centralized argument, campaign, voice because of this infighting nonsense that strays from the central issues that really matter. That's number five, central issues that really matter. Number four, and I cannot stress this enough. Number four is naively misunderstanding your opponent. You don't know who the right is. You have no idea who they are. I live in what I call a happiness bubble. This was so frustrating to me during the election between Bernie and Hillary. If you think that the right can make such a fucking enormous leap to socialism based on where we're at now, you do not understand your opponent. You don't understand their fears. You don't understand their desires. And what I'm seeing is people in this kind of happiness bubble on both the right and the left, honestly, there's two different kinds of happiness bubble, right? There's this happiness bubble of like Utah, where everybody has the same exact values. They have the same exact religion. They have the same exact ideas. They've been passed down generation to generation. They all agree on their neighbors. My mom lives in a freaking town that has like 95% Mormons. There's no diversity there. There's no diversity of thought. There's no diversity of culture. There's no diversity of race, although because they go out into the world as missionaries, they often bring people of other race as their spouses home now. So there's a little bit of color. But even when you have color and you have the same exact culture, it's not diversity. That's one kind of happiness bubble. Another kind of happiness bubble is when you live in a progressive community like I do in Fort Collins, Colorado. Dude, we're pretty fucking happy here. Low crime rates, really safe. A pretty decent economy, at least during Obama years, although that's shrinking. People who are really kind. That's the thing I love most about this town. People are really kind and generous. There's not a lot of conflict. There's a very open, race positive, we don't agree with discrimination or racism or anti-gay policies, right? It's pretty progressive, socially progressive community. And also, they're not face-to-face with issues that race actually brings up. So it's very easy for them to believe that racism isn't that big of a deal because they don't see it. Because it isn't here, because it's mostly white community. Like, it's a pretty white community. I would say almost as white as, you know, Utah with all of their pretty blonde Mormons. And when you get into these types of communities who do not understand what is going on outside of their happiness bubbles, you get in positions where you cannot even make the argument that's going to sway. Because you can't even see where the other people are at. Progressives in Fort Collins, Colorado have no idea. None. They have no idea what a community with race tension looks like. They have no idea what the Bible Belt is thinking or doing or why they're even coming from where they're coming from. Dude, I've lived in the Bible Belt and I have lived in the South, and that is a fucking mind twister, man. It's like living inside Fox News 24 hours a day. And it's easy if you live in a happiness bubble to dismiss and over-intellectualize and make assumptions that are incorrect. That's true for both ways. I will talk to conservatives and they will say things that I'm like, what are you even talking about? But that's what everyone around them says. And that's what everyone around them believes. Because it's a bubble. And this country is broken up into little bubbles. If everyone around you believes the same thing, then you get someone like me who's in there and like, oh, the token feminist liberal, let's get her. And the things that they say to me that progressives believe are so confounding to me. And so far from actual reality of what progressives believe, that it actually stuns me. It would be amusing if it didn't matter. The things that people in the Bible Belt believe will stun progressives, but you don't even know what those are. You have no desire. You have no knowledge of what they fear, and you have no knowledge of what they desire. And here's where Republicans shine. Here's where they're fantastic. They understand the fear and they target it and they go at it as hard as they can. They know that they can do whatever the fuck they want as long as they maintain the one issue voter base. What is the one issue? The issue is abortion. So when you make blanket statements about women's choice and you don't address the moral concern as a valid one, you completely lose them and have no chance, none, no chance at all of changing their vote, period. You have no chance. They've decided this is where they're going to stand, and you've decided that they're stupid. So nothing can happen. No movement can happen on either side. Now, I don't know why I became a progressive in the middle of these cultural forces. It just, my brain was like, what are you even talking about? But you cannot intellectualize their beliefs. You cannot ration with their beliefs. They are fundamentally religious and moral codes that they will adhere to. And if you don't understand where those come from, you will never be able to sway them. You will never even be able to talk to them because you're intellectualizing, you're academic, and you're condescending, and you say things like, it's a woman's right to choose, and that's a blanket statement, just like abortion is wrong. It's a blanket statement. Both of these views are very simplistic. They're very simplistic. But the Republicans know how to use them to their advantage. So while they're coming together over this one issue, we're fractured about all of these little tiny pet issues and attacking each other and attacking our own candidates, and we have no centralizing force in order to gather our troops and make a compelling case for our positions. Personally, I never understand the positions of the Bible Belt or of the Mormons or of the Catholics, or I never understand them because to me they are less Christ-like positions. Jesus came to say, one tribe, that's what we got. One tribe. That's the whole message. If there is only one God, you can't claim that other people believe in the wrong God because there's only one God. But progressives can't even make that argument because they don't even know where these people live and where their hearts are and where their minds are. If you don't even understand that, then you live in this happiness bubble and you think, you know, these ideals, but you can never sway anyone. You can never come to an agreement. You can never make a compromise. And you overestimate the power of your position because you're surrounded by other people who think like you, believe like you, vote like you. And that will cost us everything. That will cost us everything. These five things will cost us the election because the Republicans, the right-wing extremists, the Trump supporters, you look at them and you think, oh my God, their party has gone off the rails, off the rockers, because I know these conservatives and they're good and they're not up for this. They're not standing for this, except for they are because that's their pattern. I've asked Republicans, oh my gosh, especially Republican women, why are you a Republican? And literally, my whole family is a Republican is the answer. That's it. My whole family is a Republican. It's part of their identity. You have to give them a reason to change their hearts and minds. And Republicans are extremely good about preying on the fear and using it for their benefit. Trump was asked in the 80s, I believe, that if he ever ran for president, which side would he be on? And he said Republicans, because they'll believe anything as long as you get those two little, you know, whatever they're interested in, the one voter votes. They'll believe anything. They are Republicans out of habit. And you have to give them a really compelling reason for them to look at their hearts. And you can't do that with condescension, and you can't do that if you're fighting with the other people in your own party. Viciously, meanly. Like, I have trauma, legit trauma, from the election between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I don't have trauma between Hillary Clinton and Trump. I have trauma from Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, because the Trump people do what I expect them to do. The Bernie people became religious zealots who attacked their own party. And I'm talking about online vicious attacks. I went on a date with this one dude who left me in a park. We were having a nice time. We had gone to dinner. We were walking around a park talking. I said something about Hillary after Bernie had lost. He turned on me, pointed his finger, and said, "You're one of those." And he turned and walked away. Oh my gosh, it's so surprising that we have Trump as our president. If we can't get it together in a centralized way and create the sound bites, the arguments, oh my gosh, the online media campaign was so corrupt and so brilliant in its targeting of just the right people. We're gonna lose. We're gonna lose because they're more organized. They're psychotic. They're way too far right, way more than your average conservative Christian Republican. Like, to me, it is mind-boggling that any person that I know who is a Christian conservative, and that's essentially every single person that I've grown up with, and all of my family members, and people that I lived around for my 7 fucking painful years in Texas, it is mind-boggling to me that they can match up these immigrant detention centers with their Christian values. Like, that to me is violating their Christian values. But you have to understand what their Christian values are without being condescending and dismissive in order to make that argument. And the left doesn't. There should be no such thing as a debate between religion and science. That's absurd. And you'll never, ever, ever sway a religious person with that argument. You expect far too much from people. Far too much. And we're attacking the wrong people. You think my heart wasn't bruised when Barack Obama won over Hillary Clinton? Oh my God, my heart was crushed. It was personally painful to me. And I campaigned just as hard for Barack Obama as I had done for Hillary. And at least then it was a choice between two people that were going to move us forward in progressive ideas. But that Bernie Hillary campaign got ugly, and it cost us the election. And it got ugly within our own party. We need to come to terms with the fact that if you lose, you get on board with the person that's winning, unless you want an incumbent president, Donald Trump, to win. Incumbent presidents have a much better chance of winning to begin with. And Republican far right are brilliant in their marketing. They're brilliant in their advertising because they prey on fear. They prey on fear. They know what their opponent, their people are afraid of. They know exactly who to target, and they just hammer that fear in and then promise a solution. Even if the solution isn't a solution, if they promise a solution, people are ready to cling to anything. We have entire communities that have been automated and outsourced out of business. That's a real thing with real fears and real problems. And if somebody's going to give them a fucking solution, they're going to take it. We have basically three central issues on which we have the moral superiority, the rational science, the solutions to the problem. And if we can't bring every conversation back to these solutions, if we can't make people more afraid of Trump than they are of our own candidate, we will lose. If we have attacks within our own party, we will lose. If we have little rebellious bitches who refuse to vote or vote for a third party that can't win because their primary candidate lost, we will lose. We cannot afford another 4 years of this. I certainly can't afford another 4 years of this because you know what happened? I had a business based on belief. See, that's what Obama brought to us. He brought us hope and he brought us belief that things were going to get better. And here's the thing. Donald Trump is a wild card. Even people who voted for him believed more in their fear than they did in hope. Donald Trump winning that election killed hope. And I had a business completely grounded in hope. Hope that things were going to be good. Hope that things were going to get better. Hope that things were going, that a person could achieve something. And when Donald Trump won, he killed that. And he killed that in even his own supporters. Even his own supporters. Because he validated the fear. He validated the fear. We cannot go around invalidating people's fear. We cannot go around playing who's more entitled and who has more privilege. We cannot be picking little nuanced things and attack people in our own party. We cannot expect people to make that much progress in such a short period of time. Folks, we have 1 year. That's it. We have 1 year or we are trounced. And if we don't get it together, we're going to lose. And I don't want to see the apocalypse that comes after that because I can't even survive this fucking apocalypse. We need hope. We have to tap into the fear and sell hope. There are three serious issues that we need taglines for, simple solutions. We need to tap into the fear. These are jobs and inflation and the economy and outsourcing. See, they tapped into the fear of lost jobs with the immigration issue. That's not where we lost jobs. We lost it through outsourcing and automation, and that's going to continue to happen. So what's our solution, friends? What's our solution? Where's our tagline? It's the economy. It's jobs. It's we're inventing ourselves into obsolescence. So what's the plan? How are we going to use that fear, come up with a solution, and sell it to them? In very simple, centralized, effective solutions. How are we going to do that? Medicine. We are being extorted by big pharma and insurance companies. There's a side effect to Obamacare that actually is not that great for everyone. And that is that people like me who have our own business cannot access medical care unless we keep our incomes at a level just under the rate that we have to. The income level has to remain under Medicaid, because we cannot afford medicine in any other way. And I got to tell you, man, my thyroid problem is fucking real. Diabetes is fucking real. So Medicaid for all is the solution, but how are you going to tap into swing voters' fear of not being able to access medicine? Big Pharma and insurance are extorting us, and we are not even allowed to go elsewhere to buy the medicine that's cheaper. Same medicine, exact same medicine across the border. How are we going to address and fix this? Sell me Medicaid for all. Sell the conservative swing voter with diabetes Medicaid for all. And you don't do that by calling it socialism. I don't even think you understand how close the Cold War is to our current situation, our lifetimes. That's what I studied in college, was the Cold War. I grew up in a world where Russia and the United States were in a moral conflict between two political ideals. So you cannot use words like socialism and win swing voters. You can't. When you prey in people's fear, you attack Big Pharma and insurance. You don't paint a pretty picture with socialism. That is not understanding your opponent. It's naive. And the other big issue is climate change. People, the climate is changing, and we don't need to be arguing about science and religion. What we need to do is provide people real, everyday answers to the solution that, okay, big oil, but what's your plan to get off big oil? They think that we think that we should just shut down all the oil wells overnight and move into another solution. Well, I got to tell you, that's not how it's going to work, and we know that. So we cannot just make arbitrary big oil complaints without real solutions for how we're going to transition. And arguing over whether we're controlling climate change with our behavior isn't going to reach them. The climate is changing. How are we going to make that transition so that I don't go broke? I mean, my girlfriend in kickboxing is a progressive, but her husband works for a coal energy company. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs, and they're afraid that energy is going to be more expensive. So what is our fucking plan? We make this issue so academic, and we do not understand the fears of people. It's about the money, folks. It's about the economy. How are you going to make it palatable for my friend who works for that electricity company? How are you going to make it palatable that a meat eater needs to back off the meat so that we can maintain some real energy initiatives? It's real, but you cannot make it so academic and condescending that you lose the swing voter. No one wants the research. No one understands the research. There's a real fear. We have to tap into that and provide a solution. And we can't do that if we're fighting amongst ourselves about pet issues that are real, that are true, that need a conversation and a resolution. Yes, I'm not denying that, but it needs to happen after this election. Our international policies are based on fear. Immigration is a global issue of fear. that ties back to climate change. What is our plan as progressives? We're being extorted by insurance companies and big pharma. That is true for conservatives as much as it is for progressives. But you can't use words like socialism. Come on. We have inflation. People are not building new businesses, and new businesses are crashing like crazy. I had a thriving business. But no one spends money when there's a wild card, and certainly no one's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to do my dream business when I'm losing money by having a job. That's a real problem that also affects conservatives. There are voters who are wanting to be swayed. And we're not going to sway them if we can't get our shit together. But guess who has their shit together? Conservatives that are afraid that transgender people who are going to take their jobs are going to take their guns, are going to ruin their fucking lives. Like, that's the real fear that they're selling. And it doesn't even matter if it's true. It doesn't even matter that it's true or false. What matters is how that fear is tapped into and what bill of goods they're being sold. And you need to go to Prager University online and look at these videos because they're compelling as shit. And we're still dicking around bitching about our primary elections, attacking each other. That's not going to help us win, my friends. It's not. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say. I want us to win. I think it's extremely dangerous if we don't win. Extremely dangerous. Our economy is going to get worse and worse as a false big corporate stock market economy is going to grow. We're going to ignore climate change until our immigration, our migration, our international migration, global migration issue gets worse and worse, and our only plan is to be angry at migrants. Are you serious? That's the plan? Just get really mad and angry at migrants? Like, that's a real problem. We're going to face that problem if we don't get our shit together. I love you, but also, come on, friends. We need to work out our internal plan so that we have a shot. And then we need to get real strategic because we don't have safe election processes. Tune in next week. I'll think of something really inspiring and positive to say. Help a progressive out. Come on. Oh, I'm going to vote for whoever wins the primary, and I'm going to do it enthusiastically. I hope you'll join me.